choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am Chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 150, Do This, Not That, Annotated Layoff Edition. I say the annotated part because there is an article on the Briggs blog that corresponds right with this podcast. So as you're listening, you can open up the article from our website, BriggsWealth.com, and you can follow right along what I'm talking about here with respect to this topic. We did this for the HSA topic and conversation that worked extremely well. And while I'm on it real quick, if you're not already liking, following, sharing, what have you with respect to the podcast, our Facebook and Instagram pages, please do that. And on Threads, for that matter, we are on Threads. So Facebook, Threads, Instagram, all the meta platforms, we are there. Like us, follow us for more important tips and ideas and notifications when our latest podcasts and articles come up as well. So without further ado, let's dive into this. While unemployment is still at historically low levels, an acceleration of mergers and acquisitions, as well as internal trimming of staff, is occurring as I speak. Even if you feel valued, even if you point to your, how much work you do, what revenue that may bring in, or whatever, you may feel your job is safe, the problem is that your manager or director may not actually be the decision maker that ultimately makes the call of whether or not to keep you. Especially if the problem the company is addressing is one rooted in budget, not performance. If you're laid off, it can be dizzying to figure out what to prioritize first when it comes down to not only finding new work, but how to live life in the interim. And so this podcast and the article, Do This, Not That, is meant to highlight what behaviors to adopt, as well as some behaviors and habits and actions to avoid. So without further ado, we're going to dig right into this. Do this. Take a week off to clear your head and prepare the household. Not that. Furiously apply immediately for jobs and post erratically on social media about being laid off. When you're first laid off, your emotions will likely be running high. And your fight and flight reaction is going to be to rush and attempt to find new work. And there are a couple of big reasons why you do not want to do that. First, rushing in to apply for jobs likely means that you're not putting your best foot forward. You're not strategizing the resume for the work you're wanting to pursue. You're likely not examining who that prospective employer is, whether they're a good fit for you, whether the position's a good fit for you, thinking about your long-term career track, that's probably not happening. And you're probably also not tailoring your resume and cover letter to be laser focused on what that role is really looking for. And the thing is, these processes, they take time. They take days, if not weeks, to secure recommendations, to have peers review and optimize and help build your LinkedIn and resume. And the thing is, your career progression, your future earnings, your ability to build wealth, ride on getting these things right. And rushing them down is not going to, it makes it more likely that you're not going to get the best result possible. You may eventually get work, but did you get the work you wanted that's going to really maximize all of those dynamics? I don't think so. So I think that having your strongest foot forward and being emotionally clear and relaxed, it's important in order to be able to achieve the best result. The other thing I would say is that when you first get let go, there are things you need to do right away. Assuming you qualify for unemployment, you need to file for it. And that can take days, it is not an easy process to get that check. So making sure that you go through that process and anticipate there being dedicated time, both online and on the phone, to make that happen. Taking a look at your former employer's COBRA and thinking about whether or not you need to, and usually it's incredibly expensive to stay on your existing healthcare plan, but it can be even more costly if you, especially if you've hit things like out-of-pocket maximums, to leave that plan and have to start all over on a different plan with new maximums. You may pay a lower premium, but if you have medical costs, you are right back in the jackpot all over again, paying those things out. So you really need to think about these resources, and there are time frames which you need to apply for. I mean, in terms of healthcare, it's a 60-day window usually. So you really need to, you know, think about these resources and what you need to engage right away. And so taking this time is about clearing your head, but it's also getting your proverbial house in order during that week or during that first couple of weeks. On top of the fact that, yeah, I do think some decompression and some self-care and just taking time to get all that toxic stuff out of you without it impacting your ability to find new work. Do this. Treat applying for jobs like a full-time job. Not that. Obsess all day, every day, about finding a new job. A plethora of studies show that people are able to truly focus for maybe 5 to 6 hours a day. So once you add in lunch, taking breaks, talking to a friend here or there, that's how it's, I mean, a typical 8-hour workday fits pretty nice. So as you're looking at this 5 or 6 hours of focused work, I think you should set SMART goals. They're specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're realistic, and they're going to happen within that day or that week. Make certain to follow up promptly if you have any leads that come your direction. But you also have to understand, once the day is done, once you get to the end of the day, just like at work, you need to close that laptop, you're turning off that email and notifications, and you need to have some downtime. The thing is, obsessing about it all day, like, there's a catharsis to that, but the problem is that what you're doing is setting yourself up to not being your best. So even if you get to the interview, are you going to interview as well? If you get to an offer, are you refreshed? Are you focused? Are you able to negotiate and counteroffer and or answer tough questions or whatever it is? Or are you so burnt out by the applying process that you don't give your best performance and end up not getting the job or getting lowballed in the salary negotiation phase? Where if you were refreshed, if you were more confident, you could have driven more value in those conversations. So the goal here is for you to be consistently fresh, relaxed, focused, and giving your best when you're on. But there's also just a straight limitation to how long you can be mentally on at any given time. Do this. Practice sample interview questions, including the seemingly easy questions, in front of as many people as will give you the time to do so. Not that. Assume that you just have it, because the prompt isn't that complicated. Not that hard. GG easy. Well, the kick is, practicing the responses to interview questions, even the easy ones, gives you a number of different benefits. It allows you to freely communicate with the interviewer without having to dedicate bandwidth into coming up with your response. It allows you to focus on those answers really building into what that company and what that interviewer is looking for with respect to the role. Because again, you're being deliberate about your approach. It allows you to use terrific eye contact, excellent body language. It allows you to watch how the interviewer responds to what you're saying. And it gives you bandwidth to ask your own questions and really converse. Instead of it being them, you know, pointing questions and thoughts at you, you're able to have discussions with them and learn about the position and dig into not just what they're looking for out of you, but what you're looking for out of them and whether this company is going to be a good fit for you. There's a phrase I like to fall back on when thinking about something like this, which is, an amateur practices until they get it right. A professional practices until they can't get it wrong. So this isn't going to be practice one time and go. I'm talking practice 15 times, practice 20 times. That can be your parents. That can be friends. That can be someone you go to church with. That can be someone you go to the pub with. That can be, you know, whoever, you know, your friends that you go out for lunch with, or whatever it might be, you know. It really comes down to getting those repetitions. It could be former colleagues. But getting those repetitions in of having someone ask you those questions and just make sure you're wholly prepared for it. Do this. Exercise at least 30 minutes a day with moderate cardio and stretching, consistently eating balanced meals, and drinking plenty of water. Not that. Sit obsessively for hours on end eating junk food and pounding soda and energy drinks. Maintaining your health and wellness are integral to interview success. Part of this is maintaining a healthy mind and body for the rigors of the application processes and preparing for interviews, preparing for negotiations. Part of this comes down to how you present yourself. If you take time to focus on your health, chances are you'll be healthier. When you are healthier, you will be more confident in yourself and your abilities. This will translate into how others perceive you when you interview, which then translates into what that job offer is going to look like. So, from stronger job applications to the best job and compensation package possible, being healthy and making sure you take care of the whole and complete self increases the chances of more positive outcomes in a faster period of time. Do this. Cut back on discretionary expenses to conserve resources. Not that. Punish yourself with abstaining from anything that provides joy. Job hunting does not have to be a punishing experience. And going through the, what I call economic flagellation, or, you know, essentially self-harm, will not make the process easier or better in any way. So avoid that mental temptation that you should never experience things that you enjoy because you don't currently have work. Should you be more careful about how you spend or what you choose to spend discretionary money on? Yeah. Will you likely cut back on things as a reaction function? Yeah, probably. But having a coffee a couple times a week at a local cafe, or getting a Friday lunch, or having a beer at a happy hour, or mixed drink with a friend at happy hour, those alone won't kill you. Although I will say, be careful on the alcohol front, because that can be a slippery slope. But your local sandwich shop or pizza shop for a once a week thing, that's not going to make or break your ability to pay the bills. You do that a lot more often, it can. But this is, again, this is where being mindful and not merciless with your money and with yourself is really important. Do this. Network with colleagues to secure recommendations, including from your former employer. Not that. Trash the former employer on the internet, at least right now. As a networking and securing recommendations will help fill out your resume and give you concrete examples of work product to refer to during your interviews. Being toxic on the internet, it's tempting, potentially cathartic in the moment. It won't help your cause in finding work, but it also might actually be terminally detrimental should a prospective employer go looking on a Glassdoor, on an Indeed, or on a wherever, and they see that someone with your specs and description has made a bunch of negative comments. They're going to, you know, look at that and potentially draw a conclusion, you know, that you might be toxic. And if I'm building a team, I'll tell you, I'm not interested in hiring someone that has that toxicity that needs to be let go. And nor do I want that liability should things not work out with you on my team that you're going to go on the internet and destroy us. I don't want that. So you got to avoid that temptation to exact retribution for now and focus on what builds you up instead. Now, if you were mistreated, if there was a bad experience, yeah, eventually, especially once you get work, yeah, I think you should go in and report and put out there that data, that information for someone else. But I would advise at least being strategic about when you do that, so that first you make sure you've secured yourself, and then probably in a more balanced or a less emotionally charged place of being, be objective in how that employer did or did not meet your goals and expectations as an employee. Do this. Maintain routines for waking up, hygiene, eating, and a consistent sleep schedule. Not that. Waking up late, not showering and shaving, forgetting to eat or eat poorly, and going to bed extremely late because you don't have work the next day. This is similar to what I had earlier, but I want to focus on the habit part and the rhythm part of this. So it can be, when you don't have a job, if you're used to working 8 to 4, 9 to 5, and now that time is free during the day, it is very easy to get in the pattern of, oh, I don't have to get up by 7:30. I'll get up at 8:30. I'll get up at 9. I'll get up at 10. Because, hey, I don't have work to do. The kick is those hours, by and large, for most people, are when you're sharpest and most productive. So on the one hand, you're trading valuable time that could really help you with respect to finding that new job. And you go, well, I'll just work 10 to 6, or I'll work 11 to 7. I'll just tell you, you're mentally and physically shutting down during that period. And the later you push things, and then you go and stay up late at night watching anime, or watching, you know, playing video games, or watching your favorite TV shows, binging on Netflix, whatever the heck it is, and doing that till the wee hours in the morning, what you've done is created a different lifestyle that doesn't scream that you're really actually trying your best to prepare yourself to get back in the workforce. Being your best self requires that you take care of the whole self. So it means consistently waking up when your mind is most alert. I want you thinking about dressing and cleaning and all that, making yourself prepared physically for work, even though you're not going to a job today. Thinking about eating consistently and eating well, going to sleep at a normal hour. It's going to help your body heal. It's going to help your mind rest. It's going to help you give your best effort in finding that job, nailing the interview, advancing your career, and moving on from this period where things are kind of fallow at this point. Here are some final thoughts. Losing your job sucks. It sucks. It can feel as though the entire flow of your day or week has been entirely upended, because what you used to do and how you used to live is no longer the case right now. And that is the point. Right now, yeah, you don't have a job today. I get it. But this is but that's just it. It's right now. That doesn't have to be 6 months from now or a year from now. But this is where leaning into healthy habits, taking care of yourself, treating the job application process like a job, and deliberately preparing for each step of the hiring process ensures that you're giving yourself the best chance to be successful. That doesn't guarantee your success, because there are going to be, for any given position, there can be many applications. And I do think as we head into 2024, we're already seeing a significant number of mergers and acquisitions. We're already seeing significant headcounts of layoffs, depending on the company. I expect it to accelerate through next year. So if that ends up being the case, then it is even more important, as the unemployment pool will likely grow larger over this next year, that as you apply, you take an approach that you can consistently and sustainably attack the process, setting yourself up physically, mentally, emotionally for success, leaning on habits and behaviors that allow you to be successful, but also understanding that this is not a from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep thing. You're allowed to live life on top of this. Treat it like a full-time job, take that time seriously, and then when that time is done, you still get to, have time with family. You still get to go out. You still get to go do things. You just need to also make sure that this is getting as your best energy when you are on. And so the last thing I'll just say to you is you now have a list of do this, not that. And what I want you to do is with this article, every couple of weeks, after you get done reading it, after you get done listening to this podcast, I want you to look back at the guide. I want you to listen to this again. And I want you to think about, am I still doing these things? Or have I kind of, gotten off the path, so to speak? And if you have, that's, you know what? That's okay. You're human. Then you use that as an opportunity to go, oh, I'm letting my eating slip a little bit. Or, oh, I am sleeping in a little bit later than I should be. And you make an adjustment to your behavior and you fix it. And that's you being in control of the situation. That's you being in control of the environment. and empowering yourself to do your very best to get to that next step in your career. And that's what I really want for you, is to make sure that you're preparing yourself, not just for, oh, I need to go get a job, but that that job is really going to let you advance and further what you know, where you're at and what you want to be doing, you know, a year from now, 3 years from now, and so on. And being able to continue that progression that will let you earn more, that will let you invest more, save more, and do better for yourself in the long run. With that, I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode. Please make sure to catch not just this, but all 149 other episodes, as well as all the editions of the Briggs blog at BriggsWealth.com. There is a search on the left-hand side, so if you're looking for a particular topic, we've got lots of keywords and tags for our articles, so do use that. It's a pretty strong library of resources, and we'd love for you to tap into that. That's exactly why I write and I podcast, is to try to enhance your knowledge and help empower you make better financial decisions for yourself, including in career development. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. Be safe, be well, and I'll catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.